I don't think we've met before, but I'm the referee on this field.
If you're working as an accountant and you lose your job, nobody really notices.
Leinster could offer me $5 million a year, I wouldn't go.
It is Tommy Moe!
Rugby, rugby, weekly.
Little reverse pass. Oh! Oh!
Hello and very welcome along to the 42 Rugby Weekly Extra. You join us mid-celebrations as almost everything looks right in Ireland's rugby garden again. I'm joined in studio by Ryan Bailey. Hello, Ryan.
Sean, how's things?
And Murray Kinsler is joining us on the line all the way from typhoon-swept Japan. How are you, Murray?
Yeah, good. It wasn't too bad in the end. And thankfully, the pitch held up as well and Ireland were able to deliver a pretty convincing performance. So all good this end.
Yeah, a bonus point win over Samoa, 7 tries, a string of pretty good performances, and all of this with only 14 men. So let's start with that red card, Murray, because it seemed like one of the least controversial we'll see. I think even Joe Schmidt post-match was talking about he was sidestepping pretty much whether it was a fair call or not.
Yeah, I think he's pretty aware that, as well as everyone else is, that it was a red card. I don't think anyone can really argue with it. Thought Nick Berry handled it well and guided everyone through the process, probably at home as well, pretty well with his communication. There was just so much force in it. I know there's a little bit of a dip and they're both, you know, Bundiacchi's trying to get slightly lower, bending his upper body down, and UJ Sautini, the Samoan ball carrier, was slightly dipping as well. But there's just so much force direct to the head that I think you got to go red there. I haven't come across anyone really arguing with the decision. You got to feel for Bundiacchi. You really do on a personal level. This is obviously a special occasion for him playing against his kind of Samoan brothers. His parents are Samoan. He's got a really strong heritage there. Even after the game, just looking down the pitch, he was there with 7 or 8 of the Samoan players, hugging them, high-fiving them and just having a chat about it. They obviously felt really hard, really tough for him, obviously. But you can't argue it. And unfortunately, you have to expect that he's going to be banned now. What we've seen in this World Cup so far, you'd think it's going to be a 3-week ban that would essentially rule him out of the tournament. The Samoans say they're going to do everything they can in their power to make sure he's not banned. But really, I don't know what they can do in that sense. The disciplinary committee have pretty clear imagery of what happened. And it's an unfortunate one for him because it happened so quickly. Even, you know, with the bouncing ball, Henshaw's pass goes over Stockdale's head and it's flicked back by one of the Samoan players and it happened so quickly, but really that blow to the head was very severe.
Yeah, and it was a strange outcome, I suppose, because it didn't really change Ireland's dominance at that stage. By that stage, they were already in full control. Everton was clicking for them, it seemed. 20-21 up at that stage, three tries on the board, sorry. I mean, did you get a sense that even before that red card, that everything is starting to look a whole lot better for Ireland at this World Cup?
Well, I mean, it came after the Samoan try. Mm. You know, Ireland had started so well and then one pass goes to ground. It's Conor Murray just slightly behind Keane Healy. I think they got their signals mixed up a bit early on the run, a bit inaccurate on the pass, and it goes to ground and the Samoans take momentum out of that. They take their 5-metre chance after Henshaw gives away a penalty. And then the red card comes on top of that and you sense, okay, this is maybe another one of those wobbles from Ireland after starting really well. But that's what Joe Schmidt said he was most pleased about today, that they started well and that they built on top of that. They wobbled maybe for a minute or two. You think this could get out of their favour, but they finished that half with the bonus point try and having battered away at the Samoan line and they never, ever lost control of the game. Now, part of that is down to the Samoan shortcomings. They just didn't understand how to manage the game. I think that's an issue for them moving forward. But Ireland finished with 75% possession, 81% territory, utter dominance. They played to their strengths. They used their maul, used their heavy ball carriers. I thought actually earlier on in the game, they did look a bit more ambitious. And even if you think of Johnny Sexton's first try, that was one of Ireland's best for a while. You had CJ Sander running off Murray. He goes into a hole, offloads again, Stockdale carries. And then obviously Larmer gets on the ball, uses that little show and go, offend, back inside to Sexton. That was a really pleasing score from Ireland. And they threw 7 offloads again. They had 5 line breaks. But when they go down to 14, their control was really impressive. And they just squeezed the life out of Samoan. 17 penalty concessions is a pretty crazy figure in Test rugby. But Samoa kept giving them those opportunities on the back of Irish grind and set-piece dominance. So it was really impressive how they managed the 50 minutes without Bundiacchi, and that's certainly what pleased Joe Schmidt the most.
Yeah, that control was obviously the bedrock for a whole lot, but on top of that, as Murray mentioned, there's flourishes from Jordan Larmour in particular. He ended up with man of the match, Ryan. I think even Joe Schmidt was praising him. Yeah. He normally tends to pick out the flaws in whatever Jordan Larmour does, just to seemingly to keep his feet on the ground. But what did you think of his performance today? Has he posed a real threat to Rob Kearney?
Yeah, he really put his hand up, didn't he? And, you know, he even finished the game in midfield. And I think Schmidt kind of alluded to that in his post-match interview as well, that I think he's a youngster that they really want to get involved, but sometimes they just don't know where he's going to be involved for Ireland. But as you say, he was really solid, really assured at full-back. Murray mentioned his involvement for the Sexton's first try, and then he obviously got on the board himself in the second half. And I think Murray mentioned there, obviously overcoming that kind of the second quarter stumble that's kind of hindered Ireland so far in this World Cup. And what's also really pleasing, we've spoken about consistently on the pod, is just finding that spark to go into a quarter final now with a bit of encouragement and be optimistic about it. And I think all the different individual components, there was really strong performances from the likes of Jordan Larmour. CJ Stander was immense. Again, he's having a really good World Cup, and just to all the individual components really coming to the fore. You know, Sexton was in the groove for the time he was on the pitch. He, you know, obviously scored his two tries. He was striking it really sweetly off the tee. Conor Murray, there was real zip to his game. His box kicking was on point. Tadhg Byrne was really good at six, and is really going to pose a question for next week. So that's obviously all really encouraging, because it's good selection dilemmas for Schmidt now going into a quarterfinal, which you need. You know, obviously there's uncertainty hanging over Bundiaki, and we have to presume he will be unavailable for that game. And, you know, obviously Robbie Henshaw's fitness is paramount now to slot in alongside Gary Ringrose for that quarterfinal. Henshaw, as you would expect for someone who hasn't really played a lot of rugby since May, was rusty at times, but he'll obviously be all the better for his 62 minutes this evening. So all in all, as Murray's mentioned, like really encouraging, and we can definitely head now into quarterfinal week, whoever Ireland do end up playing, with a real element of encouragement coming from tonight's game.
Yeah, CJ Stander has, like we talk a lot about Johnny Sexton being targeted, but CJ Stander certainly be coming for unmerciful punishment during that game. Murray, anyone else that stood out for you as making a case for selection in whatever quarterfinal we have next weekend? Obviously the centre is first and foremost in our thoughts, with Bundy likely gone.
Yeah, I mean, there weren't any poor individual performances, to be fair. Everyone delivered. Larmour was just fun to watch, wasn't he? 12 defenders beaten, two clean line breaks. Even when he's like sworn by defenders, he just kind of bounces around until he gets a soft shoulder. And it's a lot of fun to watch. He was talking about guys like Colby and Tuisova and enjoying watching them in this World Cup. But he's definitely in that category as well of guys who kind of light up matches, and you can sense it in the crowd when he gets on the ball. I thought Tadhg Furlong was a real savage out there. He was just superb for his 45 minutes. His try was obviously one of the highlights of the game. Like seeing a tight head on the rampage from meters out from the try line, that is again fun to watch. He beat four defenders for that score. Definitely enjoyed that one. Scrummaged really well, and that's, I guess, the point from Schmidt's point of view. By 50 minutes, he had most of his key guys off the pitch. Ryan and a couple others followed, so he was able to allow Sexton and Best to put their feet up. I think Johnny Sexton again underlined how important he is to Ireland. He was just masterful, really, and some of it wasn't flashy. He obviously got the two tries. I think he'll have enjoyed that, and he kicked off the tee well, as Ryan mentioned there. But he was classy with every touch, and his personality and his presence is really important. It was positive to see Joey Carberry as well come off the bench and show more of his quality. You think of that grubber kick in behind for Andrew Conway, a lovely link they've developed at Munster, and a very familiar try, really. We saw that one against Gloucester last season, where he rolled it in behind as well. He's got lovely vision, and he's got an ability to change up. So yeah, there were outstanding individual performances across the board against a Samoa team who probably disappointed in a sense, but Ireland certainly limited their ability to do much. And Joe Schmidt will be happy that the bench obviously made an impact as well. Porter, again, I thought was really explosive. He's just a brilliant impact sub, and even John Klein probably showed more what he's about. O'Mahony got a spell off the bench as well, so everyone's teeing up nicely. I still think, to be honest about team selection, I still think Joe Schmidt has a very firm idea of his starting team for a quarterfinal, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's along the lines we all expected before the tournament. You think Healy, Best, Furlong, James Ryan, Henderson, O'Mahony, Van der Fleer, Stander as the pack, and it's hard to see them breaking that up, albeit with with Byrne making good impact and likely to do the same off the bench. And then the back line of Sexton and Murray and the halfbacks. Obviously, the centre dilemma is fixed for Joseph Mead. It's incredible that really he's never had to make the decision between these three centres. I know the three of them were in Australia, but he was kind of rotating at that stage, and you're still not sure which way he would have gone with his selection. It'll be Ringrose and Henshaw almost certainly. Henshaw was rusty today. He made uncharacteristic errors, really, and that is understandable. He's only played 80 minutes before tonight since the 25th of May. It's a remarkable lack of rugby, really, and he'll be frustrated with that knock-on, with the penalty. But then he showed a bit more of himself as he grew into the game, one really good carry through midfield, and he'll definitely be better next weekend for it. And then the back three is very settled, really, with Stockdale, Kearney and Earls. You'd expect them to start again. But to have guys like Larmour, Byrne, Reece Roddick, who appears to be on the outside, which is a bit of a surprise, to have those guys to come off the bench as well in what is going to be a really difficult quarterfinal, regardless of what happens tomorrow, is really encouraging. Joe Schmidt was asked, obviously, because, listen, we've all seen the videos from Yokohama and Tokyo. It's incredible what's going on up there. And obviously, best wishes to everyone who's bunkered up there. It looks really scary. But you can't really see a game being played there tomorrow. So in that event, Japan topped the group if it's cancelled, obviously, and Ireland play the All Blacks. Joe Schmidt was asked about the All Blacks. He said, you've got to be very, very good to beat them. And even if you're very, very good, you don't always beat them. He'll feel his players are better prepared for that. He'll feel that in knockout rugby, they'll be the team to really limit the All Blacks' strengths in terms of turnover, transition attack, and limiting Ireland's errors. And that was probably one of the things he'll be most happy with tonight. It was one of those Ireland performances where they went to their strengths, where they went to their controlling, kicking game. I think they had over 30 kicks in this game. I don't have the stats here in front of me. 33 kicks from hand, which was clever, and their ball carrying was excellent. Even though the Samoans got some big shots on, as you'd expect them to, there was some nice footwork, I thought, from the Irish carrier. Stander even typified that. He had 22 carries, and I think it was around 28 metres made from those. So it's not a huge figure, but he's under a lot of pressure for several of those carries. And he does really well to just eke out yards. And there was guys all around him making those carries. Even Ryan always ekes out an extra couple of inches. And they'll need to do that really well. They'll need to control the possession and the territory against the All Blacks as well. And if they're going to play the All Blacks, obviously. There's plenty of positive signs there. But we're probably just... We're in the position we almost expected to be at this stage. Ireland have shown their hand now. They've played really well against Scotland and against Samoa. But you still just don't quite know if they're going to be at that level against the All Blacks, who are obviously the best in the world. So it's going to be a really interesting week ahead, and certainly tomorrow is going to be interesting as well. Ireland just so thankful that they can sit back and watch on events unfolding with the knowledge that they've secured their quarterfinal so convincingly, and with that nice bit of momentum that Ryan mentioned.
Yeah, I'll just take you back to the weather there briefly, because that is the sense you're getting, is it, that it will... I suppose increasingly we see footage coming through Twitter of trucks getting blown over, and I think Fraser Brown's posted a video of Scotland's hotel literally creaking like an old ship in the wind. That is the sense you're getting there, that it is going to be called off and called a 0-0 draw tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, that's the feeling definitely over here, based on a lot of that imagery that we're seeing. Like there's flooding all around Yokohama International Stadium. So, yeah, we're waiting on the final inspection tomorrow morning. And I really wouldn't like to be on the team who are going to make that call, because it all kicks off again then, doesn't it, with Scotland if it's cancelled. But it looks pretty bad up there, I have to say. And it's such a serious situation that they just can't take any risks. Like watching some of the videos of the wind blowing through Yokohama and Tokyo, you're just thankful there's no match going on today, because people would have been injured trying to get there. You just wouldn't be able to play a match. It would have been absolutely insane. So that's the sense certainly here. I mean, that could change overnight. We know that the Japanese authorities are incredible at recovering from these kind of natural events, natural disasters. So we wait on the final call tomorrow morning. But, I mean, it's hard to see it happening at this stage.
Yeah, so given that it is going to be New Zealand by the looks of that, or by everything we can predict at this stage, even though it might change, Ryan, how do you think this performance sets Ireland up to have a cut off the All Blacks?
Yeah, we're in, obviously the mood around it is a lot brighter than we were even 7 days ago, or after that Russian game in particular, you know, definitely after that Japan game. But as Murray said, like, this is the position where we expected Ireland to be in. you know, anyway, building towards that quarter final. You know, obviously we expected them to top the pool, but look, it's the All Blacks. We know we've got obviously a good recent history against them. You know, as Murray referred to there, that there's encouraging signs, but you know, Ireland will need to produce their best performance in the Joe Schmidt era. Let's be realistic about it, in Tokyo next weekend, if they've any chance against the All Blacks. It's just there's interesting, obviously, sides to it, that with the All Blacks game against Italy being called off, they've got a longer lead-in period, and are they kind of slightly undercooked? Does that work to Ireland's advantage? So it's, you know, it's going to be an incredibly interesting week, and how Ireland build towards it. And already in the post-match press conference, as Murray said there, that Schmidt has been asked about it, and obviously his Kiwi links, and like there's a great narrative to it around it, and you know, it would be a great way for the Schmidt era to finish if he could beat the All Blacks in a World Cup quarterfinal. But there's definitely encouragement, there's definitely signs of that Ireland are in a position where they can challenge them, but you know, it is the All Blacks, and they're going to need an almighty performance, and hopefully they can do it, but it's still a long way to go.
Yeah, because we talk so much about how difficult 6-day turnarounds are, like it seems ludicrous to talk about a longer, almost 2-week lead-in hurting New Zealand. But yeah. Murray, can you see a scenario where that would disadvantage New Zealand at all? They didn't know going into playing Namibia that they wouldn't get another hit out for almost a fortnight.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we mentioned about the likes of Brody Retallick, who definitely would have... it would have been useful for him to get more game time. That sense, and again, Joe Schmidt was asked about that after, about, yeah, his side have got a bit of momentum in, but I think he's very realistic about the challenge ahead. I mean, if it does work out that Ireland top the pool and play the box, well, how much fun would that be as well, building up to that, with all the connections and all the links, and again, a really quality Springbok side with real power and different strengths to the All Blacks, and possibly strengths that Ireland will feel they can also negate, that they can manage and just kind of coax out of the game almost with their game management, with their tactical understanding as well. And the big, like the thing for Joe Schmidt is his big players stood up today. There was pressure on Ireland. They were in a good mental place. They had an excellent 9 days here in Fukuoka. They had their weekend off last weekend. They went on the piss on the Friday night, and honestly, I think that helped, because everyone just kind of bounced out of that, and then the wives and girlfriends were over, the partners were over in the last couple of days, and everyone was in good form. But there was still that bit of pressure of not knowing. That's why it was so important for them to start well again today. They did that 4th-minute try, which I thought was brilliant, and which was pure Ireland. They squeezed a penalty into the corner. What a brilliant line kick from Johnny Sexton. And then they absolutely nailed that maul play where Henderson gathers the ball. Stander and Ryan lead them down that blindside channel again, and they thunder over from 5 metres out. Really excellent score. And that just kind of built that confidence from there. And it was good to see them finish over the top as well. Obviously, it got a little bit disjointed in the second half with only 14 players, but they kept scoring and they kept the foot on the throat. So, yeah, I thought big players stepped up and showed a little bit of their mentality, and they'll feel that that's in their armory again going into this week, that they're well built. Obviously, Ireland haven't been beyond a quarter final and their record is not good, but they've been in this team has been in highly pressurized situations, and they've won a Grand Slam, and they've beaten the All Blacks a couple of times. They've beaten the Wallabies down on Australian soil as well. So there's lots for them to kind of draw on, and that's where they'll be going with this. And no doubt that Joe Schmidt will have picked out a few more little bits and pieces. He'll have another Jacob Stockdale-esque try against the All Blacks up his sleeve if it's them. Or he'll have another clever maul play against the Springboks, something like that, that Razzie and Felix Jones will feel they've got a close eye on it, but he'll throw something different at them. So it is going to be a fascinating week ahead.
Yeah, beers, wives and girlfriends are never a distraction to sportsmen, if this week has taught us anything. That's all from Rugby Weekly Extra today. Thanks to Ryan Bailey in studio.
Cheers, Sean.
Murray Kinsley in Japan. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys.
And we'll catch you next week on the 42 Rugby Weekly Extra. Go easy.
I don't think we've met before, but I'm the referee on this field.
If you're working as an accountant and you lose your job, nobody really notices.
Leinster could offer me $5 million a year, I wouldn't go.
It is Tommy Moe!
Rugby Weekly.
Little reverse pass, and goal!